The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 30, Text Number 31, given by Srila Arinda Sruptas on June 3, 1988, at the Gayanagri Farm.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Pracheta, this morning, text number 31. Translation. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction because you are the Supreme, beyond all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. You want to say after me, Dear Lord,
Dear Lord,
we shall therefore pray for your benediction.
We shall therefore pray for your benediction.
Because you are the Supreme,
beyond all transcendence,
because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There was no need for the Prachetas to ask any benediction from the Supreme Lord, because the devotees are simply satisfied by the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj practiced severe austerities and penances to see the Supreme Lord, and his intention was to receive benediction from the Lord. He wanted to acquire the throne of his father, or attain an even better position. But when he was actually in the presence of the Supreme Lord, he forgot everything. He said, My dear Lord, I do not wish to ask any benediction. That is the actual position of a devotee. The devotee simply wants to be in the presence of the Supreme Lord, either in this world or in the next, and engage in his service. That is the ultimate goal and benediction for the devotees. The Lord asked the Prachetas to pray for some benediction, and they said, What kind of benediction should we pray for? The Lord is unlimited, and there are unlimited benedictions. The purport is that if one must ask for benediction, he must ask for unlimited benediction. The words Tvat Purataha are very significant in this verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Purataha Purat. The word Pura means transcendental, beyond this material world. The impersonal Brahman effulgence is beyond this material world, and this is called Puram Padam. Aruhya Krichitrena Puram Padam. It's 10th canto, 2nd chapter, 32 verse. Merging in the impersonal effulgence of the Lord is called Puram Padam. But there is a higher transcendental position, which is the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Itti Shabjate. Bhagavatam 1:2:11. The Absolute Truth is realized first as impersonal Brahman, then as Paramatma, and finally as Bhagavan. Thus the Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, is Puratarat Pura. Purataha Purat. Beyond Brahman and Paramatman realization. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Purataha Purat means better than the best. The best is the spiritual world, and it is known as Brahman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is known as the Parabrahman. Therefore, Purata Purat means better than Brahman realization, as will be explained in the next verses. The Prachetas plan to ask the Lord for something that has no limit. The Lord's pastimes, qualities, forms, and names are all unlimited. There is no limit to His name, forms, pastimes, creation, and paraphernalia. The living entity cannot conceive of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. However, if living entities are engaged in hearing about the unlimited potencies of the Supreme Lord, they are factually connected directly to the unlimited. Such understanding of the unlimited becomes unlimited by hearing and chanting. So I'll read again the text. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction because you are the Supreme, beyond all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. So this story is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it is there, we have the history of the Prachetas and their activities. It is there specifically because we are invited to share in their understandings, their realization, and their accomplishment. So here's a group of devotees, 10 of them, we're seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is how they addressed Him. So what can we learn from this? So here we see from Prabhupada's purport, there's so much to be understood here. So this is a question of asking benedictions. This is the nature of Krishna, that whenever He becomes manifest to a devotee, automatically there's benediction bestowed. His very presence is benedictory. He's surrounded by so many goddesses of fortune, whatever. So all kinds of benediction just automatically and effortlessly flow from Him. He's well-wisher of everybody. And His wish is infallibly executed. Not like us in the material world. We may wish somebody well and then who knows what may happen. But His wish is infallibly executed. This is the nature of Krishna. You can get some idea of who you're dealing with when you're dealing with Krishna, why His name is Ananta, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpur Viksha Lakchavite Surabhira Pipali Antam Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambraman Sevyamanam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So first of all, His abode, the building blocks there. It's not cinder block or brick, field stone, sheetrock, aluminum siding, but Chintamani. So think about this. What is Chintamani? That's known as the philosopher's stone. And what does that do? It produces precious metal. Gold. That's the highest that we have is gold. So the Chintamani, that's right, it has this potency. It can turn. It's so potent. Makes everything else even more valuable. So that stone itself, what is its own value? You can just imagine. If in its presence, everything else turns into gold. So it itself is this gold, whatever you just is producing, producing, producing. So that's what everything is made out of, that stone. The trees, kalpa vriksha. Here's a tree, and you can approach this tree, and on its leaves, there's apples, oranges, bananas, pineapples, kiwis, grapes, mangoes, on and on and on. And apparently ready to supply to order. You can just go up. It's like a put in your order and it's there. Comes to you. So those are the trees. Next, the cows. Surabhi. He hears these cows. Surabhi cows. They also produce whatever you want. When there are these things, when they become locally available, they're so valuable they create a lot of controversy in the material world. Just like there was an episode involving the Surabhi cow, because Jamadagni had one. That's right, it was Jamadagni had a Surabhi cow. And there was this king. Yeah, Kartavir Arjuna, right. Kartavir Arjuna. Kartavir Arjuna, who had lots and lots of potency, but the sage had more potency because he had this Surabhi cow. Because he used the ghee from the Surabhi cow to perform yajna, and because he used that ghee and sacrificed that ghee from the Surabhi cow in the fire of sacrifice, you know, Jamadagni had everything he wanted. And so he was transcendentally more powerful. So there was a big fight. That's how Parashurama ended up killing all the generations of Kshatriyas, because of this Kartavir Arjuna. And that started out all over this wanting that Surabhi cow. Kartavir Arjuna himself had lots of arms and things like that. He was pretty potent. In fact, he beat up Ravana. He was so potent. So just to have that one Surabhi cow. So Krishna has not only, if you have one Chittamani stone, you have it made. Krishna has abodes built with just Chittamani stone. All the trees are called Pariksha trees. All the cows are Surabhi cows. And Lakshmi Sahasra. Somebody gets one Lakshmi Devi to stay a little while, but he's surrounded and attended and waited upon by hundreds and thousands. Each one of those gopis is a Lakshmi Devi. So that gives the example of you look at the earth. And at the plant life, and at the animal life, and at the human life. And each one of them is such a thing that produces unlimited opulence, wealth, power, good fortune, and everything. This will get an idea from these very vivid and concrete descriptions. Don't think they're mythological either. It's not like just because we can't imagine it, because it staggers the imagination. That just means we're not up to understanding yet what we're dealing with. This verse, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Bhiksha Lakshavritesu, this is eyewitness account of Lord Brahma, who saw this manifestation and put it in his verse. Now our brains are dull and conditioned by matter. We don't have any experience of reality. All we have experience is of a world of shadows. So this language, which is about reality, we are putting our shadow meanings onto it, so we don't know quite what it really means. That will come later, but it's not mythological. This world is mythological, not that world. So this is an idea. So the prachetas, the point is, when they finally encounter the Lord, you get this realization, this is who I'm dealing with. So what benediction should I ask? All of a sudden, you know, my choice is, you know, how it is like that. You know, somebody, some kid wants some ice cream, you know. So they figure, okay, I'm going to do for him good. I'm going to take him to Baskin and Robbins. And suddenly he's confronted with, I don't know how many flavors they had, and he can't decide. You know. So one asks a benediction of Krishna, and then, if you're fortunate, you actually get to see who you're dealing with and what benedictions he has. And what are you going to ask? And the point is, then you realize that actually Krishna himself is the benediction. Just like if you want gold, that's your benediction. So you may get some gold, but if you're really fortunate, you find out, oh, here's a philosopher's stone, Chintamani. This is the source of the gold. So that's better to have than the gold itself. But then what is the source of this philosopher's stone? That's Krishna. And you see that Krishna is the most valuable thing. And then just to have his association, automatically, this thing, you know, this philosopher's stone, this is like pebbles in the street. He thinks everybody else is falling all over philosopher's stone, kalpa vriksha. There was also a war about a kalpa vriksha too, parijata flower tree. Let's say kalpa vriksha. There's a war about one of those. Whenever they show up down here, everybody goes berserk. And a kamaduka, sarabi cow, also. And Lakshmi, that's also a war. Sita. So, but here, these things are in profusion. So who's Krishna that has such incredible opulence and wealth? This is who we're dealing with. This is the real reality. We're out here in dreamland, in the shadow world, you know, grubbing around. And here's this real reality of Krishna. That's what it says here. Purataha purat. Better than the best. That's why we have a little trouble imagining. Our experience is limited of precious stones, of vegetative fecundity, of productive cows, of auspicious women. There are us, everybody knows that, you know, all these gamblers, they always like to have some woman that brings luck around. There's some potency there, I guess, comes and goes, but we have limited ideas of these things. So we have the idea of the best, but whatever Krishna is, it's better than the best. As it says here, it's better than the best. Paratara para. Para. That's like there's something you see. Here you see where it comes from. In Prabhupada, he talks in Nectar of Devotion, there's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. See, you thought that perfect was already the superlative degree. You know how in grammar there's positive, comparative, and superlative. Good, better, best. smart, smarter, smartest. You know, positive, comparative, and superlative, these degrees. So when you see get perfect, you know, perfect is supposed to be superlative already, but then Prabhupada says perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So here with Krishna, you have to start using language like that. Actually, you see it also in mystical literature. First of all, people try to imagine what is the best by saying, well, all our names and mundane descriptions fail to reach it. This is one characteristic of the Supreme. That before which all our words and materially conditioned words and thoughts fall flat. We strain with our imagination to come up and to express His glories. We can't do it. So then He is said to be like that, inconceivable, adhokshaja, like that. So these are these negative descriptions of the best. And of course, this when you just take this and develop it, get into it a little bit, it becomes tends to become more and more like Mayavad philosophy. Just not this, not that, not this, not that. Now, in a sense, there's nothing wrong with it because it's true. The Supreme cannot fit our mundane intelligence and imagination. So all our words fail to describe Him. Like this. But there are people who rest. They say, well, that's as far as we can go. So the absolute truth is a big cognitive blank, an empty target without name, form, relationship, qualities, all these things. They have to stop. And so they end up in the Brahman effulgence. Well, the Brahman is the absolute truth. And here it says, Param is Brahman. But Krishna is Parataha Parat or Parabrahman. So that's a bold word, Parabrahman. That means beyond Brahman. So sometimes these mystical people and impersonalists, when I was studying graduate school in religion, I used to read this writer, Christian writer, goes by the name of Dionysius the Areopagite, pseudo-Dionysius the Areopagite, rather. You know, this is a mystical literature, the divine names and so on, Christian mystical literature. And Dionysius the Areopagite, Areopaga is the hill of Mars in Athens, and in the Acts of the Apostles it describes how St. Paul went there and he saw on the hill of Mars people were worshipping at various temples there, Apollo, Athena, and so on. They're worshipping the various gods. And then he saw one temple that said, with an altar, and it said, to the unknown God. That they felt, they were afraid that they may have left somebody out. So just in case, whoever it is, that's who they're worshiping. And he took this as he says, I have come to preach to you about the unknown God. Anyway, he's supposed to have made a disciple there, a convert named Dionysius. So there's some writings that have come down from this Dionysius, said to be from this Dionysius. Later on, in the early Renaissance, it was decided by everybody that they weren't really. They're written by some 5th century Syrian monk, so now it's called Pseudo-Dionysius anyway, in Greek. Anyway, these very prominent mystical literature and quoted all throughout Christian tradition, and it tends to be very impersonal, mystical, impersonal literature. So it's all about how names don't apply to God, the divine names. It's about how no name that we can say. There's one passage in there. I wrote a paper on it once where Dionysius is describing beyond, he's describing the absolute, beyond good. He takes all these words that we use about the Supreme and says, now you're beyond it. We say you are good, but you are beyond good. We say you are wise, but you are beyond wisdom. We say you are just, but you are beyond just. So he's going on, beyond good, beyond wise, beyond just. And then he says, beyond, beyond. But here we see what this beyond, beyond means. Well, the beyond is that void that you enter into when everything, you're empty of all material names and forms and everything. But then there's beyond, beyond. Beyond that void. And that is revealed here. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. So, beyond, beyond means Parabrahman. So we may not be able to conceive him with our material ideas that we've heard. And these things may seem like little exaggerated fairy tales that we can't imagine. Or even if we accept them, in principle, yes, they're Shastra, still they don't affect us with any impact. But we have to also go beyond and beyond, beyond. So these, we can't understand them. The transcendental quality of Krishna's name, his form, his entourage, his paraphernalia, that's not revealed to materially contaminated senses. Rupa Goswami stated this. But when these senses have been purified by being engaged in devotional service to Krishna, then it all becomes manifest. So we have to have these transcendental senses. And then we'll see, here's the real world. These are the original trees, the original cows, the original goddesses, Lady Luck, the original auspicious women, the original building stones. Everything is there in the original form. And these are there in eternal existence. That's real. What you have here, it comes and goes. It's wisps of smoke. It's less real. And that is hyper-real. Really real. So we have to get connected with reality. So when Krishna comes, reality comes. The real world becomes manifest like that. So Prabhupada says, the Prajapatis say, they have some, now they see, you're the Supreme. You're beyond all transcendence. Whatever we thought or we knew was supreme or transcendent by any other method, now we're seeing you and you're beyond that. In contemporary language, mind is blown. They say you are consequently you are celebrated by this name Ananta. So this is their experience, is Ananta. Ananta, everything is there. So Prabhupada says the Lord is unlimited and there are unlimited benedictions. This is the Prachetas' realization. The Lord asked the Prachetas to pray for some benediction, and they said, what kind of benediction should we pray for? The Lord is unlimited, and there are unlimited benedictions. Prabhupada said, the purport is that if one must ask for benediction, he must ask for unlimited benediction. You may recall in the Srimad Bhagavatam, commenting on the worshippers of the demigods, Prabhupada says they have small desires. They have a small desire. They want this little thing, that little thing. But the devotee, so here's the Lord who is unlimited, so you ask for that unlimited benediction. So Prabhupada says, the prachetas plan to ask the Lord for something that has no limit. And what is that? He says, the Lord's pastimes, qualities, forms, and names are all unlimited. There is no limit to his name, forms, pastimes, creation, and paraphernalia. Oh, so there it is. That is what is unlimited. You should ask for Krishna himself. And then Prabhupada says, well, how can we achieve that? He says, the living entity cannot conceive of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. That's our problem. However, if living entities are engaged in hearing about the unlimited potencies of the Supreme Lord, they are factually connected to the unlimited. Such understanding of the unlimited becomes unlimited by hearing and chanting. So this is the process of becoming connected by regularly hearing and chanting. Then by that regularly hearing and chanting, the mind and the heart become scrubbed, free of all impurities. And as those impurities go away, then Krishna reveals himself as he is, directly before the devotees. Right here, right now. Not tomorrow, not the day after, not. It simply depends upon the desire of the devotee. We already had that told us. I'll go back and read from this purport. Whatever a living entity desires, is a couple of verses ago, however insignificant he may be, is noted by the Lord, who gives him a chance to fulfill his desires. If the desires of the non-devotees are fulfilled, why not those of the devotee? A pure devotee simply wants to engage in the service of the Lord without material desire. And if he wants this within the core of his heart, where the Lord is situated, and if he is without ulterior motive, why should the Lord not understand? If a sincere devotee renders service to the Lord, or to the archa, vigraha, the form of the Lord, all his activities prove successful because the Lord is present within his heart and understands his sincerity. Thus, if a devotee, with all confidence, goes on discharging the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will ultimately attain success. So there's the success formula for Srila Prabhupada, how to attain the unlimited. That if that desire is there, the Lord understands, and that desire will be fulfilled. So we can learn this from the prachetas, and then the ultimate idea of what this benediction is Krishna himself. And when Krishna comes, everything else comes along with Krishna. Krishna's land, Krishna's associates, the whole thing. Whenever Krishna's there, he's not alone. Everything, all Krishna, all his energies, everything. And the devotee lives in that company. The devotee simply wants to be in the presence of the Supreme Lord, either in this world or in the next. Actually, where doesn't matter. And engage in his service. This is the ultimate goal and benediction for the devotee. So actually, that goal is actually at hand. It's a question of our own desire, our own sincere Whereas what we pray for, actually, what we actually want. If we actually want it, if we want to serve Krishna, we want to attain this goal, then there's no question of its not being fulfilled. This is what this Prabhupada's promise. He said there's no question. This is telling us here what the Prajeta's understanding is, that whatever they want, they see they've got it right there in Krishna himself. And then with Krishna also, everything else automatically is there. This Prabhupada described Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is faith. There's firm conviction that by worshipping Krishna, I also perform all other subsidiary things. All those things will be there, that if attaining Krishna, I'm not going to be wanting for anything else. A devotee has to have that conviction.